Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Henry Bill, and welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com conference call. This is 18th of October, 2007, and we're going to be recording tonight the podcast number 23 for pmlessonslearned.com. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. This evening, we have a lot of interesting topics to cover. Our main topic this evening for our lessons learned, our PM best practice, is going to be presented by Brett Hirsch. He's a PMP, and he's going to be talking to us about motivating, developing, rewarding, and managing people. I'd also like to mention that before we get into the topic, we also have with us John West Hadley. He's the principal of John Hadley Associates. He's going to be sharing with us a career moment. So before I get started, I wanted to make sure that we started out with our usual warm-up question on our main topic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that question, and hopefully we'll have some people on the call chime in. Because our topic this evening is about motivating, developing, rewarding, and managing people, my question for this evening for warm-up is, what have you seen in a manager that has motivated a team that you were on, or what have you seen from a manager that was highly motivating to a team? Does anybody out there have any answers or any comments on that question? Or maybe another question would be, how have you been motivated or rewarded on a team that you are on? Remember, you can push star 6 to unmute your line and then star 6 again to mute your line.
Well, this is Mike. Things that I've seen that I also have experienced.
Mike, could you speak up just a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Things that I've seen from one or two managers that I practice to this day is whenever in a large meeting with a group of people going over statuses, I make sure that each and every individual person is acknowledged for the work they did. It may seem trivial, but, you know, when it I was acknowledged, it made me feel good, not only for myself, but in front of the entire team. But when I do it, it just really reinforces how everybody's part, whether it's a small part or a large part, does contribute to the ultimate goal.
That sounds great, Mike. Could you give us some specifics, like an example perhaps of how you would reward somebody? I don't know what kind of projects you're involved with, but could you give us an example of how you might reward somebody on the team? Because I know a lot of times, sometimes when you make a milestone on a project, sometimes people feel as though, well, I didn't really accomplish all that much. Maybe you could give us some example.
Well, as far as a something tangible, I myself have given out like $25 American Express gift cards, you know, okay, for a team that is about, you know, 10 to 15 people. That's not a big expense.
Right.
And again, that was back, you know, when I was working for a large company with big pockets, so that was nothing to them. But, I mean, it's the little things plus the public acknowledgement that really, I guess, wanting them come back for more.
Right, okay.
And give more. And to really feel that the work that they've done was acknowledged and publicly notarized.
What have you found to be the benefits to the team of presenting those type of recognition awards?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that or rephrase it?
Well, I'm saying is after you gave out these awards to the team, after you accomplished a milestone, what did you find to be the benefits to the team as a whole or to the project?
Just making them feel that this was a good team to be on. I mean, I've gotten comments like, wow, do we get this for every milestone? And I would say, yeah. And they're like, well, for the second milestone, is it going to be 50 instead of 25? You know, things like that.
Right, but right.
It just, again, I mean, it's very minuscule in dollar amount, but it brought together the team. And, you know, even if it included, you know, going out to a lunch or bringing lunch in and just kind of having a
right.
celebration with that milestone go, no-go status meeting, you know, and
right.
make sure everybody gave each other a big round of applause.
Sure. Did you find that that the motivation from the reward brought back returns that were far more than the value of the reward?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
How did you see that exhibited?
I mean, I've had comments that, you know, gee, this project was a real pain in the neck, but, you know, whenever, you know, we want to work on your project again, Mike, because you're fun. You make things fun. You know, it's that
right.
type of, I don't know if I'm answering the question correctly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was wondering. That's great. Thank you, Mike. Is there anybody else on the line that would like to contribute as well?
So, this is John. One thing I would say is that I've noticed when a manager does a good job of drawing each person in at some stage to make sure everyone is contributing something and gets a chance to be seen as contributing something so that they feel like they have a real stake in what's going on. Just that involvement helps create a lot more commitment.
So you find that there's a sense of buy-in from the team, you're saying?
Yeah, and particularly from the one, you know, the person who tends to be more introverted may not share as much at a meeting, but finding a way to draw that person into sharing an opinion on something or be a little more actively involved, then they get really engaged in the project too.
Right. Yep. I would agree there. Well, thank you very much for those that contributed to our warm-up question. I appreciate you both chiming in there. I always like to start out with a warm-up question so we can get people warmed up to the topic. I wanted to introduce our panelists for this evening. Again, as I mentioned before, our main topic is being presented by Brett Hirsch. He's a PMP, and he's also an IBM Executive Project Manager, and he's also involved in the Project Management Center of Excellence at IBM, and he's also the leader of the IBM Project Management Knowledge Network community. So Brett is very involved with his employer and promoting project management and helping project managers. I've heard some of his presentations before, and I thought it would be great to have him on one of our calls. So, Brett, welcome, and thank you for joining us this evening.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, it's great to have Brett on the line, and I'm happy that he agreed to do a presentation for us. And the topic that we have is, I think, one that a lot of people are going to be interested in. We also have with us John Hadley. John Hadley is the principal of John Hadley Associates. His name is John West Hadley. John is involved in career enhancement. He's a career counselor. He helps people with their career search. He has a newsletter that's available to people, too. We haven't had him on our call before, so I'm looking forward to him sharing with us as well. We'll be getting to him in just a moment. I just wanted everybody to know that there are many different newsletters available out there on the Internet, and John's newsletter is one that's very helpful for those of you that are familiar with our calls. We usually talk not only about project management, but project management as a career. And if you're interested in career information, John has a newsletter, and I will include it in the notes from this show as I put them out on the website after I post the recording. John's newsletter is available at jhacareers.com, and again, I'll post that URL, that web address, on the notes when I post them on the web, so that everybody can have access. And you can sign up for his newsletter and look at the archives of his newsletters. They're very helpful for people in their careers, so I would highly suggest that to everyone. I found some of the advice that he gives in the newsletters, sometimes when it comes in, it's like, hey, that's just the thing I wanted to know about today. It just seemed like sometimes it's just targeted right to me. So I would highly suggest that to folks, that they look into that. So let's just take a minute and let John share with us a career minute here, as we usually do in our calls. John, you want to share with us your topic?
Sure. Well, a lot of people worry about uncovering career opportunities. My question for all of you tonight is, how do you make sure that opportunities find you? And there's a tendency not to think about this until we need to, because our job's in jeopardy, or there's a major layoff going on at the company, or there's been a reorganization and we're really unhappy about our new role, or we've been laid off and we're on the street looking. Well, the best time to be doing the things that make sure that opportunities find you is when none of those are true, when things are going well. And this is all about visibility, and particularly it's about having a really winning mindset. And, you know, how do you do this? Well, one thing is we all get into situations probably a few times a day where somebody asks you, what do you do? You go to a cocktail party and you meet someone at another company who asks you that, or you run into a senior officer at your company at a cocktail party and they ask you what you do. If you answer that literally, you have just fallen into the trap that makes you miss your opportunity to really create a lot of great visibility. You don't want to answer it by saying, I'm the project manager in charge of IT infrastructure projects. But that's the literal answer. That's the boring answer. That's not the one that gets you the visibility. What you want to do is always think of the value you are adding. Anytime someone asks you, what do? You want to reframe that question and imagine what they just asked you is, why should I pay your salary? If you do that, you will create great visibility for yourself that will uncover things. For example, when I first went out on my own, I put together my little pitch about the things that I was really good at doing and the value I would add doing that. I was making a complete shift from a traditional actuarial career to a systems career. And I was at a conference in Montreal, met someone for the first time. He asked me what I did. I gave him my little pitch, and he immediately offered me a consulting assignment. Now, of course, I had to go in and interview, but I went in when I got back 2 weeks later, had a one-hour interview, and now I had a six-figure consulting practice. Someone else I was working with, he had an opportunity to meet with the chair of his company because the chair was doing skip meetings, going to meet with people a couple of layers down. And I asked Kevin, what is your goal for this meeting? He said, well, it's to make sure that the chair understands exactly what I and my unit do, which is the literal answer to that what do you do question. I said, no, your goal has nothing to do with that. You will happen to accomplish that as a byproduct of it, but your goal is to make sure that the chair understands exactly what value you and your operation are adding to his organization. And once he thought of it that way, then we could have a really good discussion, brainstorming on how he could accomplish that. At the end of the one-hour meeting, the chair turned to him and said, Kevin, the next trip you take down to our Latin American operations, I want you to call me because I want to come along. I think there's some things we can do together. That's what can happen if you are always focused on what value are you adding.
Wow.
So that was my message
That's
for tonight.
A story. That's a good story. I always like to hear stories that tie in with what people are trying to tell me. When I hear a story, it makes it hit home so much better. I was wondering if, while we have John on the line, is there anybody out here that on the line that has a question for John that's related to what he's told us about here, trying to make value for yourself, make yourself marketable by showing the value you have. Anybody have any questions for John while he's on the line?
Well, I guess everyone's satisfied.
What's that?
I guess everyone's satisfied.
That's right. Well, that is good advice. That's very good advice. John, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can call me direct at 908-725-2437, or my email address is john@jhacareers.com. And I've got a wide range of articles on career development, on career growth, on career search that I'm happy to share with people.
Great. Great. Yes, and actually, if you subscribe to John's newsletter that I talked about earlier, that's also on the site there where you could subscribe to that. And again, that has very helpful hints. And I know at one point I actually had a conversation with John as a result of one of his newsletters, and he was very helpful to talk to me. So I would highly suggest that those of you that have an interest in advancing your careers, read those articles that John's talking about, read some of the newsletters, you can subscribe to the email newsletter and find out more and contact John if you're interested. Thank you very much for sharing with us this evening, John.
You're very welcome, Henry.
Yep. I wanted to get into a few quick announcements that I wanted to make. One is that for all of you that are new to PMLessonsLearn.com, I would like to invite you to sign up for our Yahoo group. The link is on our homepage on the left-hand side. All you have to do is enter your email address, and then you'll be sent an invitation to join by email. And then you can go ahead with that process. It'll tell you the directions of how to do that. You just reply to the email, and then you'll be part of our mail list. Our Yahoo list, we don't send out a real lot of email all the time, but the kind of things that you'll receive if you're part of the Yahoo group is you'll receive information about our calls, of course, the topics, and when they're scheduled. But you'll also receive information. We have project management best practice hints that we send out from an author that's been on our calls before, Jim Blaylock. Actually, he's going to be speaking, for those of you that are in the New Jersey and New York, Connecticut area, he's going to be speaking in the March time frame at the New Jersey chapter PMI meeting. So he gives us PM best practices that from his book that we send out on a regular basis. And his book is available as a discount just for being a PMLessonsLearn.com member, which everybody that wants to join is a member when you join the Yahoo group. It's free. So that's available to you. We also send out to our email participants other information that has to do with project management careers, project management tidbits, and PMP information. And we also have another group for those of you studying for the PMP exam. We have a study group, and they have a conference call once a month as well. We also have two other calls per month that are called our job shop call. The very first call, the goal of that call, I should say, is to connect people that are looking for project management jobs with people that have job openings. And at the very first call, we had a success where somebody was actually joined up, two people, one looking for a job and one needing somebody. And within 2 weeks, that person was on the ground working. Now, I just heard news the other day that there's another person from our calls. We just started these a couple of months ago, but now there's another person from one of our calls that apparently has landed a job as well as a result of those calls. So I would suggest that those of you that know of job openings and anybody that's looking for a project management job. So those are the kind of things that we do, and if you subscribe to our email list, you'll get that information. I also received an email from Frank Saladis. He's a PMP, and he's spoken on our calls before. Frank Saladis is the person that started the International Project Management Day, which is coming up on November the 1st. So November the 1st is a day, the International Project Project Management Day is a day set aside to recognize project managers and the value of project management. So you may want to tell people at your business about it. You may want to visit the website. It's called internationalpmday.org. I will also include that in the notes of this call when I put it out on the web. And this year it's being held on November the 1st. So you might want to be reading about that and learn more about it, internationalpmday.org. So without any further delay, I wanted to get to our main topic this evening. Again, we have with us Brett Hirsch. He's a PMP. He's an IBM Executive Project Manager. He's involved in the IBM Project Management Center of Excellence, and he's also the leader of the IBM Project Management Knowledge Network community. Brett, we're very happy to have you with us this evening, and we're looking forward to your presenting on this topic.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me for today's call.
Yes, well, I guess one thing that I should mention, if anybody just joined the call, if you go to our website and you look on the left-hand side, there is a link for files. And if you go to, that'll take you to our Yahoo site, and in the files section under articles for conference calls, you'll see a file that's dated the 18th of October. And that is the presentation that will go along with tonight's topic from Brett. Brett, will they need to have that in order to follow you, or can they just listen in?
Well, they can just listen in, but certainly it would be better if they could see it.
Okay, great. Okay, take it away.
Okay. If you're going to be looking at a PDF file, I don't know if you'll be able to see the animations. Hopefully you will. And, of course, after John Hadley's comments, I'm afraid my intro needs some work. However, as Henry mentioned, I am an executive project manager and the Project Management Knowledge Network leader, the second largest registered community in IBM. And I am with the IBM Project Management Center of Excellence, which is the body that puts together all the methodology and is the management body for all project management in IBM. And I've been in the business for over 30 years. This included time as a developer, an analyst, a consultant, and the president of a voice recognition company, if you can believe that. I've been a manager or project manager since the mid-1980s. And during that time, I have established and led teams of various sizes in a number of industries. And as you might imagine, all of this time has involved a great deal of motivating, developing, rewarding, and managing people. It's my hope that this presentation will provide you with some insight into these areas by pointing out some of the lessons that I have learned along the way. So let's get started by going to slide number 2, and we'll take a look at the agenda. Now, I'll start off by giving you an introduction and some reasons why this is an important subject. We will talk about what it means to motivate people, along with techniques that I have used. Next, we'll examine how to develop people in teams. We'll follow that discussion with some thoughts on rewarding people, and we'll then spend a little time on the people aspects of managing. And lastly, we'll open the lines for questions, and you can take whatever shots you'd like at my ideas. Please move to slide number 3. Okay, you may be asking yourself, why should I care about motivating, developing, rewarding, and managing people? I mean, after all, my job is really to deliver the project I was assigned. Well, if you have been a project manager for any length of time, then you know that the single most important success factor in a good project success is a good, effective team. A good team can take a mess and make it a success. And, of course, a bad team can take a success and make it a mess. And for this reason alone, you should care. You should care because part of your responsibility as a project manager is to maintain and manage your team. I mean, delivering the project is not enough if it means you destroyed your team. I often feel compelled to ask project managers who don't care about their teams just who they were planning to depend upon. When you have difficult deadlines or complex work to complete, then it's your team that will save the day. I mean, if for no other reason, then you should care because it is in your best interest to care. I mean, you and your team will succeed, or you and your team will fail, but rarely will one succeed without the other. So let's get a little deeper into the subject by going to slide number 4. So just how do you get people leaning together in the right direction? What incentive is there that will encourage people to perform the tasks that you need done when you need them done? And as you can see, if you can see the slide, this quote from Dwight D. Eisenhower, motivating people is an art. Now, there's plenty of material that exists about motivating employees, but it doesn't really contain a works every time solution. Therefore, what I will offer you now is based upon my opinion and my experience with what has worked for me. This, of course, means that you should take what I say with a grain of salt and investigate the literature for yourself. Please move to slide number 5. Now, here is a list that you probably have experienced yourself. The bad news about motivation. The real bottom line is that you don't really control most of the factors that motivate people. You are not usually able to positively affect anything that is not related to your project. Often PMs have trouble affecting things that are related to their project. And in some cases, you will not have any means for motivating selected individuals. And as I indicated before, you will not just be able to follow a checklist because individuals are motivated by different things. There are even differences between the generations when it comes to motivation. Baby boomers tend to be driven bunch, while Gen Xers that you attempt to drive will, in fact, leave and drive away. Let me give you an illustration. Several years ago, I was sent to a large and a very troubled project for a manufacturing company. I usually am sent to troubled projects to try and clean things up. When I arrived, the team had already missed several deadlines. They were coding while they were gathering requirements, and I don't mean that in an agile way. They were in a deep financial hole. The customer hated us, and the team had the morale of a Soviet gulag. Now, as you might imagine, this is the motivational equivalent of getting a 16-ton weight to jump rope. Not an easy thing to accomplish. But interestingly enough, it turned out that this was not a hopeless situation. However, the primary motivation for the team when I arrived was getting off the project. And at this point, this is really where innovation is pretty much your only ally. Well, let's move to slide number 6, and we'll look at some of the more positive aspects of motivation. Thankfully, there is some good news about motivation, too. It is possible to motivate people. Well, in reality, it's possible to show people that performing the work you are asking for is in their best interest, or that completing the work is in line with the goals they have already set for themselves, or that there is a possibility of any number of alternative good outcomes for them. And this is desirable because, as you probably already know, a motivated team performs better, and they are more satisfied with their work. Satisfied people tend not to leave your project unexpectedly. And while I prefer positive motivation, there are times when negative consequences can motivate people as well. This is often the approach for problem team members who have not responded to prior positive techniques. Another thing to remember is that you don't have to individually motivate everyone. I mean, many people come already equipped, thankfully, with their own internal motivation systems. Let's go ahead and move to slide number 7. So, what should you or can you do as far as motivation is concerned? Well, motivation is, in reality, all about expectation. If you don't believe that anything positive will come from your effort, then you will not, unless you're a very driven individual, be as motivated to perform. And the same is true for the people that are on your teams. Fortunately, most professionals are self-motivated. Therefore, if you show people the vision and give them the opportunity to succeed, then most of the time they will respond. And conversely, if you do not communicate and people are unsure of the chance of success, then usually they will be far less motivated to perform. For example, while at yet another major account, I attended an all-hands meeting. I'm sure you've done that as well. The senior executive who addressed us was glowing in his praise for the account team, saying that we were the best in the region. At that point, he changed his tone and said, "Unfortunately, the region as a whole has not done well this year, so there may be no bonuses or raises this year." At that point, I turned to my partner sitting next to me and said, "Is this supposed to be the morale speech?" Now, do you think that most of the people who attended that meeting left feeling their hard work was justified and with motivation to work as hard from that point? Another key factor in motivation is how your team sees your motivation and commitment. If you show disinterest and a lack of commitment to the success of the project, then your team will get that message, and they won't care either. Now, you might be wondering what we did on the manufacturing project I described earlier. You might be surprised. Now, in addition to laying out the vision and factors that would lead to success, we knew we needed to lighten the tone and get people and customers talking in a way that would relieve the tensions. So, it may sound strange, we started bringing in breakfast on Fridays. Now, another senior PM and I would bring in breakfast. He would bring in 6 to 8 dozen donuts 3 times a month. And once a month, I would lay out a tablecloth, a centerpiece, along with muffins, bagels, filled croissants, cinnamon rolls, various kinds of cream cheeses. And after a while, the team and the customers would line up and actually start helping us bring in the food. And they would help set up. And most importantly, they would talk to each other in a non-threatening atmosphere. And this led to many good discussions and getting past a lot of the tensions and even arranging meetings and impromptu kind of discussions that solved a lot of issues. So let's move to slide number 8. Developing people. Now, as if motivating your team and delivering your project wasn't enough, you also have to worry about the ongoing development of the members of the team. Now, please note, this usually only applies to the company employees on your team. It is generally not your responsibility as a project manager to train and or otherwise develop contractor resources. Now, if you only have contractors on your team, you should not have to worry about their ongoing development. And notice I said should, and that's because there's always exceptions to rules. So you may find yourself in odd situations. Please move to slide number 9. Now, as a project manager, you will need to be concerned about ongoing development of your team members as it relates to the project. And this means that you may have to train people in order to get them to do their job effectively. Now, if you're using new technology or methods, then you will almost certainly have to arrange for training. If your company, on the other hand, has education or certification requirements, then you may also have to place contingency in your schedule to allow for people to take education, to sit for boards, and to take tests. And this can impact you. Now, unless you happen to be both a line and project manager, your responsibility for developing people, as I said, will be limited. Now, if you are both a line and project manager, then you have my sympathies, because I've had that pleasure myself in the past. And it's like taking money out of one pocket and sticking it in the other. And one additional concern is remote team members. In today's virtual environment, you will have to learn the education requirements for your remote team as well as any local members. And if you've experienced that, that may involve some very different factors from your local team. So it's important that you understand that and include that in your scheduling. Move to slide number 10. Now, one development function that you should absolutely make a requirement is mentoring. And while mentoring may indeed impact your project, it is really of greater importance than a single project. You should definitely plan time to mentor any junior project managers that are assigned to your projects. Also, you should encourage your senior staff to mentor junior members in their disciplines as well. And you may be saying, why is he emphasizing this? Well, I'll tell you. Most companies today are just waking up to the reality of their aging workforce. The real knowledge and experience for many companies is either retiring or will retire soon. And before that happens, it's vital, if that company is going to survive or at least do as well as it had been, it's vital to transfer that knowledge in the most practical and useful manner. And in most cases, the way that's successful is mentoring. Now, it's difficult to gain deep knowledge in most of the project management and technical disciplines by reading in classes alone. I mean, spending time with a senior practitioner can give you more knowledge in a few months than a year's worth of online education will give you. So don't overlook mentoring. Don't forsake it. It's the way that the future will come and take over for you when you leave. Let's move to slide number 11. Okay. So in terms of developing a team, what do you do? Well, building a team is an art, and it takes a lot of effort, especially in our virtual team environment nowadays. And despite what you may have been told, all project managers, architects, and consultants are not equivalent. A project manager with 20 years of experience is much more able to manage a complex project than a PM with 3 years of experience. You may doubt that, but give it a try and you'll see. So if you have the option to choose your team or any of the members on it, keep a couple of things in mind. One, pick people who have real depth. I mean, that is, they've been around and they have done it. Not people who say they are senior because they worked on something for a few years overall in one tool. I've had people come in and tell me they're senior developers and they have a total of a year or two of Java, and that's their whole experience. And they're not senior anything. But you need to be aware of that, especially if you're on a troubled project. Number two, pick people who fit the character of the group. Now, all groups will act to police themselves. If you bring in someone, the group will at first try and bring them in. If they resist or they don't fit, then the group will exclude them, no matter what you try and do. So it's wise to understand the character of your group and then make sure that the people that you bring in fit that character. And that'll promote camaraderie and much better communication if you do so. Now, if you suspect that a person might be a disruption, do not add them to the team. Don't do it as an experiment. If you inherit a disruptive element, then release them as soon as possible. Your team will thank you for it. Another thing that you should do is to promote team morale and unity. I like to set up a table and keep it stocked with snacks and drinks. If decent coffee is not available, then I provide it. It's really a small thing, but it goes a long way. People don't have to go searching. They don't have to go running out. They're able to work, and it's a place where people meet and talk. Now, if your whole team is remote, that's pretty difficult to do. However, if you have remote team members, then not only should you communicate with them often, but as much as is in your purview, try and give them the same consideration as any local staff. It will go a long way. Let's move to slide number 12. Rewarding people. You know, it's funny. I feel like rewarding people for the work they do should really be pretty straightforward. However, the years have taught me otherwise. I like the quote on this slide. Companies that give excellent service reward employees for providing it. And I suspect the fact that the source is unknown for this quote is because the author's company didn't really reward people. And I will also admit that I have told more than one aspiring PM not to expect rewards. In fact, I have said, if you're successful, then somebody else will take credit, and if you fail, then you will get the blame. Now, that being said, I feel it is very important to try and reward good work. This is part of the expectation issue I mentioned with motivation. No expectation means little motivation. Let's move to slide number 13. And we get the bad news about rewarding people. Much like motivation, you usually don't have a lot of available options for rewarding good work and behavior. And what is even worse is that rewarding poor work or inconsistently rewarding good work will demotivate people. Think how you feel when you do yeoman's labor to make some deadline, working long hours and sacrificing family time, only to receive a pat on the head or no notice whatsoever. Or worse, somebody else who did little or nothing takes or receives the credit. Now, many years ago, I was in a large group that had a tradition of giving out various awards once a year. Usually the same people received the awards because the large voting block consisted of the longtime group members. In one example, one of the group won the longest hours award for the third or fourth time in a row, I believe. And I knew this person did spend long hours, and I knew that because I said hello to him when he arrived after me in the morning and goodbye when he left before me each evening. Now, I don't tell you that story because, I spent such long hours, but it means that when you give out awards and you do these kind of things, you want to be sure that you're not demotivating people rather than motivating them. Another issue with rewards arises because in most companies, you may not reward contractors. So take great care and check with your supervision before running afoul of this kind of a problem. You don't want to go there. Move to slide number 14. Here's the good news. Even though you need to be careful and think about who and how you give rewards, you should nevertheless do it. There are, in fact, some fairly safe and, in fact, inexpensive rewards that you can give individuals and teams. And, in fact, I heard some people speaking about them when we started up. Now, people appreciate recognition, and you should give it. Acknowledging the team in some manner will help morale and build unity. It also tends to be fun and satisfying, so why not do it? Let's move to slide number 15. For my money, the best form of reward is genuine praise that is honestly given. Now, almost everyone responds positively to genuine praise. I am not talking about an over-emotional gushing. Rather, I am saying that people will appreciate greatly your telling them that they did a good job and the value that their work had to the project. Now, if you can't be genuine in your praise, then find somebody else to do it for you, because phony praise will be recognized. You will lose credibility, and the person or people will wind up feeling bad rather than good. So if you can't give real praise, don't give it. It just causes a lot of trouble. Email praise is okay, but face-to-face is much better. Face-to-face in a team meeting where people get recognized, even better. Now, if I can swing the budget, then I'd like to hold a morale event as a team reward. Now, I favor bowling. It's fun. It's not too expensive, and it builds team unity. But you'll find something. If you want to just do a potluck because that's all you can afford, go ahead and do one. I have also given out official and unofficial certificates of commendation. In some cases, there was money involved, but that's not very often the case in my line. Now, in one case, I actually gave everyone on the team custom-made certificates of commendation with new job titles that I made up, such as King of Consulting or Soothsayer of Suppliers or something like that. It was fun. We had a good time. And it's a great way that people put those certificates, those handmade certificates, up in their cubes. They framed them. This is how you know that you're reaching them. And finally, you can and should send a note of commendation to people's line managers when they do exceptional work. And the nice thing about that is that also works for contractors. You can always send to the company and say, hey, we really appreciated this. It did fine work. Let's move to slide number 16. Managing people. Yeah, that's right. We come to the basic topic of managing people. And I like this quote from Marianne Allison pretty much because it says it all. Hire the best, pay them fairly, communicate frequently, provide challenges and rewards, believe in them, get out of their way, and they'll knock your socks off. Of course, you will not often get to hire or determine their pay, but you do get to communicate, challenge, and get out of the way. Because the role of a leader is really to communicate the vision with enough clarity that team members can act to deliver the vision in the absence of detailed instructions. Good managers tend to be more servant than manager. They know what needs to be done. They communicate it, and they use their authority sparingly. Slide number 18. Now, using a tremendous amount of sheer audacity, I have distilled all of management knowledge into the three F's. These are fair, forthright, and firm. Now, if you simply accept this premise from me, then you fail this course. Even though I will explain what I mean, I expect you to think this out yourself and apply it only after considering how it will work in your environment. Please move to slide 18 and we'll explain. Or I'll explain. Okay, managing people, the fair aspect. Now, I'm sure you realize that earning true respect takes time. Most teams will afford an incoming project manager a measure of cautious respect. They're waiting and hoping that you'll prove yourself. Sometimes they're waiting and even helping you to fail. If you want to be effective and eventually earn the team's and even the client's respect, then you need to behave fairly. By this, I mean you need to listen and give way to the ideas of your team, even if ultimately you decide to do something else. Get to know your team and who really does the work and what they are doing. Important, give credit where credit is due. Remember our discussion of rewards wrongly applied? And also, lead from the front. This means that you are with your team in the trenches and they know it. You stand up for them and they know you are pulling for them, supporting them, and encouraging them. Don't tell everyone to work weekends and overtime while you take off. It's not being fair, and people won't respect it. Slide number 19. Forthrightness seems to be a tough one nowadays. People seem to be afraid to say what they mean directly and honestly. No, I'm not saying to be rude. I'm insisting that you should politely say what you mean and mean what you say. Now, over time, as people see and hear this behavior modeled by you, they will learn to trust you. And frankly, this is a key component of earning the respect of your team. I have actually had clients forego detailed acceptance testing because they trusted my word and my team. Now, that didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. And it happened because they knew that we were honest, we were direct, and they had seen us do it over and over. Also, make sure that you keep your team informed. And look, I know this is not easy on tough projects. I have struggled with it many times myself, when you really get down in the trenches and forget to take the time to tell your team things. But really, your team will appreciate the information, and frankly, it will prevent errors as well. So just make sure you take that time. Slide number 20. Okay, finally we come to firm. Now, while I've harped in this presentation about caring about your team, I do not mean to imply that you should be a block of management-flavored jello. Your teams will learn quickly that what your boundaries and expectations are, if you tell them what they are. Honestly ask people to deliver quality work. Listen to any issues and try to resolve them. However, do not accept poor quality. Make sure your teams know that you will be in the trench with them and that you respect them and expect their respect in turn. Let me just give you a for instance about team respect. Now, many years ago, I was assigned to a large technology rollout project, and my job was to oversee the completion of the reporting for the project. And I flew regularly from the West Coast, where I live, to the East Coast. Now, the PM for the project, the overall project manager, lived on the East Coast, and all of our offices were in our homes. And when the PM wanted to leave me a message, my phone would ring at 4, 5, or 6 in the morning, waking me up and sending me running to get it. And although I kept telling the PM the calls were waking me up, the calls continued. Now, eventually, we had a face-to-face meeting with all of the team, where the PM announced loudly, "I always know when Brett is sending me his timesheet, it's midnight." And I said, "Gee, that's funny. I always know when you're leaving me a message because it's 6 in the morning." And I could see the little light bulb go off over the PM's head. and it never happened again. Now, you can either respect your team, or maybe you'll have some nasty people like me who'll be sending you things at midnight. Think about it. And lastly, don't panic in front of your team. And never let your team panic in front of your clients. I can remember sitting in a meeting where the monitor wasn't working, and one of my team started to just go crazy, and I stopped. And I said, look, if we have to reschedule the meeting, we'll reschedule the meeting. But never, for any reason, panic in front of the client. And so if you'll move to slide number 21, that will bring me to the end of this presentation. Thank you for listening. And if you have questions, now is the time to ask.
Okay, why don't we open up the line to any questions? Thank you, Brett. That was very informative. I had looked at the slides ahead of time, but you added so much information to them. And some humor in there, too, and some interesting stories. So why don't we open up the line if anybody wants to ask a question of Brett? We can open up the lines now. You can push star 6 on your phone to unmute your phone, and then you can ask a question. Let me acknowledge you first. Just state your name. If you want to, you can state where you're from. Does anybody have any questions or any comments?
Apparently I lulled everyone to sleep.
Any questions, folks? Well, Brett, maybe I need to warm things up a little bit. I'll ask you a question. You mentioned about your example of having handmade certificates as a inexpensive way to hand out rewards to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one area that I've always been interested in, because a lot of the organizations that I've worked in prior to the one I'm in now, I found out that I didn't really have the funds, and the organization didn't really support having any funds available to reward the team. So I was very interested in that, and it reminded me actually of a story when I used to be the captain of a softball team, and I had the idea to, it was just a very informal thing. We met after work and played in a league, and, you know, we weren't the best of teams, but we had a lot of fun. And I used to do something very similar. I would print up certificates and hand them out to different people on the team to recognize their contribution to the team. And I think a lot of people had a lot of fun with that because, you know, we'd have awards given to people that were on the team for all sorts of silly reasons, best catch and things like this. And I think it made help people to realize that they were all part of a team. And it was a lot of fun. So it kind of reminded me of that. But I was wondering if you had any other suggestions for ways to inexpensively treat the team to some kind of a reward.
Well, a lot of times it depends upon what kind of things your company does. IBM has thanks awards. And so you can give a certain number of thanks awards. And that's an easy way to do things. I've done every kind of thing imaginable. Some are only a few bucks. You can get a gift certificate, a gift card, which is a nice thing. I heard that mentioned earlier.
Right.
It's interesting when we do things like, if you can get a little money together for bowling, or sometimes what we do is just the team all contributes, and
right.
We can get a gift for someone who's exceptional. There's a lot of possibilities. There's often, if you will check with the promotions department in your company, there are leftover gifts of all kinds. And sometimes you can get a few of those to give out on, especially if they're significant projects, as just rewards for good project excellence. There's any number of it. That's why I talk about innovation. Nowadays, it's a little more difficult than it used to be. So if you just think a little bit, you can find some interesting ways of rewarding people. And again, the best is simply attaboy.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of times people just would even like to have somebody recognize that they did something for the team. It just can be saying thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for getting your part of the work done to help us make this milestone that we're trying to accomplish. You know, thanks for putting
I've seen people where I was surprised. I thought that the manager acted like their tongue would snap off if they said thank you.
So. And actually, this is Mike. You brought up a good point there, Henry, that, you know, even simple things like sending a simple email after you've asked for something under a tight deadline saying, like, thanks, that really helped.
Right.
I had someone tell me, like, gee, no one ever thanked me before.
Wow.
I mean, little things, a simple one-liner email.
Sure.
That's interesting that you say that at that terrible manufacturing project account that I mentioned. I sent out an email early on in my tenure there, and the response I got back is no one had ever thanked them in the whole years they had been there. No one had ever said thank you for anything.
Wow.
This is flabbergasting. How cheap is it to say thank you? But how valuable is it to the person who gets thanked?
Yes. Yeah, and you mentioned something earlier, too. Sometimes a thank you, what I've done sometimes before is I'll send a thank you to maybe that person's manager in a matrix organization, or maybe even to my manager, saying, you know, I just wanted to take the time out to thank so-and-so for putting in the extra effort and making this contribution to the team, or coming up with this new efficient way of doing things that cuts off 2 hours worth of our time every week or whatever. And I will send that out to the manager and copy the person who I'm thanking. And sometimes that goes a really long way for somebody to see you tooting the horn for them.
Absolutely. If it's something that you would like to receive, I mean, most of us like to receive a thanks for our efforts, especially if it copies our manager. Because if you think about it, if you don't do that, how will the manager know? Are you going to force the person to, you know, toot their own horn, basically? That would be the only way they would know.
Sure. Yeah, another thing that I caught during your presentation was you mentioned the topic of trust and how important it is to convey trust within your organization, within your team, when you're a project manager, by being honest with them and, you know, having integrity and those type of things that promotes trust. And I've heard a lot of presentations that talk about that word and how important trust is within an organization as a leader, which all of us as project managers, we're leaders, of course, or at least we should be. And as being a leader, having trust within your organization is a very important thing, because sometimes trust in itself will act as a motivator for a team.
Absolutely.
And I think that when you have your team behind you because they trust you as a leader, and there's lots of ways of gathering that trust in your team, they're willing to go the extra yard for you, the extra length for you when time comes. And some of that, I mean, all of these things, it's interesting that, you know, the topic was these four different topics. They're very much intermeshed, the motivating, developing, rewarding, and managing the team, because, you know, when you foster trust within your team, not just the team trusting you, but the team trusting each other, that tends to also motivate the team, because one of the things we talk about is, as a leader, being a pace setter. And I heard some of that in your presentation, too. You know, the idea of, hey, look, guys, we're going to have to start staying late to get this done, or else we're not going to make our deadline. You know, I'm going to be here tonight. I hope some of you guys can, too. I'll buy dinner for whoever's here. I'll come around and see what I can do to help out, remove any bottlenecks that you have, and make sure the communications are flowing, or whatever I need to do to make sure that we're successful. And by being a pace setter that way, the team starts to see that you're putting in the time and you're concerned about the goal, and they'll just follow right along. And that sense of trust in you. And, you know, another way to gain trust, too, is to be a buffer sometimes with the client organization or some of your stakeholders, or maybe with a manager or whatever. Sometimes by being a buffer in the organization, your team starts to trust you. And that also tends to motivate the team, because they realize that you as a leader are willing to take one for the team. I like how you mentioned about the trying, you know, making sure that you don't panic And I've been in situations sometimes where some of the stakeholders really push you to your limits, and you just have to realize you're just not gonna give in to that panic that might occur for some people. And when they see that you're not going to give in to that panic, and when you're not maybe going to give in to certain requests that you don't feel are right for the project and for getting to the goal, your team will respect you more for that. And when they respect their leader, that will also be very motivating for them as well.
Well, absolutely.
Is that to be true?
If you think about it, and I've talked about this not on this particular call, but on others, confidence is critical, especially since I do a lot of troubled project recovery. If you aren't confident, then who's going to trust you? Who's going to believe that you can overcome the problems that they're facing? If you're not confident with your team, if you're not confident with your client, the story I often told is many years ago, when I was still a developer, back in the old days of timesharing, I was out at a client, and I did something I had never tried before, and I rejoiced when it worked. And the client said, "I've noticed something about you." In those days, they call it data processing types. "You're always surprised when it works. Shouldn't you know?" I've never forgotten that. It's the same kind of thing when we go into a client and we are always saying, "Well, hopefully this will be okay, and hopefully that'll happen, and hopefully when we put this in, it won't crash." Well, How confidence-inspiring is this? It's not. It's not inspiring at all. But if you come in and you say, "Hey, we know that there are risks. We've considered them. We have contingency plans in place," that's a much stronger statement. And people will respect that more. And over time, because it doesn't happen overnight, clients will begin to, and your team, will begin to recognize that and will trust you. And they'll take risks for you because they know that you're there with them.
Right, right. Anyone else on the call have a question or a comment for Brett?
Yes, this is Mel from South Jersey. And
sure.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was, speaking of trust, I wanted you to talk a little more about standing up for the team. Sometimes your team is taking hits from external sources. Can you give examples and tell us a little bit more about that?
Certainly. One example I've given in prior presentations. Years ago, I was in a computer-aided manufacturing laboratory group. And we did some pretty innovative stuff in those days. We were using voice recognition and barcode readers early on in their dispersal. And there were some issues. We had done very well in one area, and then we moved to another area, had some problems. My manager called me in and had the room full of other managers there and said, "Oh, we're having the following problems." And I said, "You're absolutely right. It's my responsibility. I'll take care of it." And everyone just sat there. And the reason was, I assume they felt that, oh, I was going to deny it and they were going to beat me into submission. But there were, even though I hadn't created the issue, even though it resided in my team, I'm the project manager for my team. I'm responsible. Now, I will go and take care of it. I don't have to sit there and give excuses. And to blame someone on my team is foolish for me and for them. So in those kind of cases, I mean, I'm not worried about taking hits or getting another beating. I mean, that comes with the territory. If you're not willing to take those kind of things, you really shouldn't be in this business because that's going to come.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell a story about one place I went where I took over two troubled projects. The week I took them over, I got a call from the quality assurance person who said I was out of compliance. Whoa, what a shock that was. And I said, "Well, what's the penalty for being out of compliance?" And I was told, well, we send a note to your manager. I said, "Really?" "And if I stay out of compliance, what happens then?" "Oh, well, we send a note to your manager's manager." "Really?" And if I'm still out of compliance, they said, "Well, we send a note to the big manager." And you have to go and talk to him. And I said, "So the punishment for being totally out of compliance is just another beating? Well, sign me up for this program." You just have to be willing to care about your team and to realize that if you are going to stand up and take care of them, they will respond. At least my teams have over the years. And I've appreciated their efforts. They've appreciated mine, and it's worked.
Okay, thank you,
Brad.
Help
answer. Okay, that answered your question?
Yes, absolutely, it did.
Good, good. Yeah, it's interesting as a project manager. One thing that I think that we all need to be familiar with and be comfortable with is that when there's some degree of distrust or some degree of frustration or issue with the team, the project manager needs to take that on and say, yes, okay, you know, we did do such and such. We're going to have, you know, this is our plan to correct it. But whenever there's any kind of recognition for the project manager has to turn around and say, yeah, the team did that. You know, it wasn't me, it was the team. And I think that's something us as project managers have to make sure that we take advantage of, because if you have ever worked for a manager before where the manager is always taking the credit and always passing on the blame, that's very demotivating. You talked about the bad news before, Brett. Well, that's
yeah, only a few hundred times. Not.
So as project managers, we always have to make sure that we give credit where credit is due. So
absolutely,
our team is the most important part of getting the project done. They're our most important asset.
Well, if you kill your team, you won't outlast them.
So do we have any other questions or comments? I'll allow one more before we close out the call. Anybody else? Okay, I don't hear another one. Go ahead.
Is there another one? I was giving someone else the chance. I did have another one.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. The part of mentoring junior project managers or even mentoring team members, how does a person, I guess a more junior project manager or team member, they're interested in project management, and their project manager is not mentoring or helping them, how is that encouraged? How does he encourage that?
Well, that will be entirely dependent on the receptivity of the senior person. I mean, you may not want to be mentored by someone who doesn't model that behavior to begin with. In that case, I would suggest finding another mentor that you could communicate with about how to behave on your project. If it's just a case that the person's busy, then I would just go to them. If they are receptive, if they're a project manager that cares about their team and is really open to communicate, then I just go to them and say, hey, I need you to be more involved in showing me these things and keeping me, I want to help you to do your job and thereby learn. If, on the other hand, they're not really a good communicator and aren't interested in mentoring at all, then I'd look for somewhere else and take the kind of issues that come up on the project and take them to your mentor and say, well, how would you deal with this? I mean, that to me, that's the best way. I think wandering around and spending time working with a project manager, seeing, okay, you go with Brett, he goes into this troubled project, and he's sitting with a client, and I get to sit in there and listen to what he says and how he performs. I don't read some case study in an online training session and say, well, gee, can I apply that? Do I say that thing? Is that real? You can see it actually happen.
And you can see the results.
Exactly. And that, to me, that's the best way. I haven't seen anything that works better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And actually, I almost feel like that question is, in a way, almost a plant. Because one of the things that we want project management lessons learned, our group to be for the people that are part of our group, is more than just these conference calls. One of the things that I had envisioned when we started this out is to make project managers available for other project managers so that they can get feedback and information for specific issues that they're facing. We've had calls before where people have sent in questions via email, and we've had them discussed on our calls to come up with different answers for those questions. We also open up the lines like this for questions because we want people to be able to express what their everyday issues are that they have in project management. So I would encourage you, if you are not able to find a mentor within your organization, to send us an email. You can contact us at share@pmlessonslearned.com. That's SHARE @pmlessonslearned.com. And what we will try to do is we will try to connect you up with a mentor if you'd like. And we also always like to open up these calls to any project management issues that people have. And, of course, if you want to send an email ahead of time and you'd like to have some of our different project managers on our calls answer your question or discuss with you, even one-on-one, some of the issues that you're having, what they would suggest, we'd be happy to do that. That's what we're about. PMLessonsLearned.com is all about project managers helping project managers, and it's a group of project managers. It's not a big organization. It's just a group of project managers, grassroots, that started this out to help each other out, and everybody that's involved in this organization is here to help each other, as I'm sure probably is something similar to what Brett Hirsch has with his project management knowledge network community that he leads. I'm sure that that's part of the intention of that network as well. So we'd like to make that available to all of our members, that if they do want to mentor or have some project management related questions, we'll open it up to our membership or get you a one-on-one mentor if that's what you feel would help you. You can also consult people in your local PMI chapter if you are a member, which it's not that expensive to join. You can be part of your local PMI chapter, which there are PMI chapters all over the place. I'm sure you'll be able to find one close. And usually at those, they usually have monthly meetings. And at the monthly meetings, you can sit down with another project manager and discuss the issues that you're having. I'd highly suggest that as well. But, you know, just as Brett said, if you have somebody in your local organization that you can actually sit in and watch them do their work, that's probably the best way to learn that I can think of, too. So thank you for your question and for allowing me the opportunity to mention what we're all about here as part of PM Lessons Learned. So with that, I do want to invite everybody, if you want to stay on after we finish the recording here in just a minute, if you want to stay on, we usually open up the lines for anybody that has any additional questions or any project management topics. We can discuss those after the recording is stopped, because I know a lot of people have things that they want to discuss but not have it recorded for a podcast. I've had a lot of lively discussions with the past few calls after I stopped that, and I'll be doing that in a moment, so please hang on the line if you're interested. I do want to thank the panelists this evening. I want to thank Brett Hirsch for presenting to us the topic of being able to motivate, develop, reward, and manage the people on your team as a project manager. Thank you, Brett. And I also want to thank John West Hadley for being with us this evening and presenting our Career Minute. We'll be putting all the information up on the website, and again, the presentation that Brett downloaded is available on our Yahoo site under the file section where it says presentations and materials for conference calls. You'll find it there under the 18th of October. So I suggest you take a look at that. If you have any further questions, please send us an email or contact us through the Contact Us link on pmlessonslearned.com. Thank you all for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again soon for another one of our calls. God bless you all. Have a good evening, and keep on learning.
Thank you.
That sure was a lot of helpful information, wasn't it? Please join us for a future conference call. We currently have several calls a month. Join our Yahoo group for more information about our calls and information to further your project management career. Membership is free. Details are at pmlessonslearned.com. We hope you'll continue to listen in to our podcasts and tell others about our podcasts and our group. pmlessonslearned.com. We're all about project managers helping project managers. And until next time, keep on learning.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.